Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520s. I have one of my great heroes on the program today, a man I've admired when I was at the Republican National Convention. Sheriff Tim Howard showed leadership there. As an undersheriff, as a sheriff, he has been the most dedicated, honest, decent public servant and a very humble man. But with criminals, he's a tough guy. So let me tell you a little bit more about him. He has a lovely wife, Susan. He was preceded by Pat Gallivan. And, of course, Timothy B. Howard is the sheriff of Erie County since 2005, succeeding Gallivan, who was elected to the state Senate. Tim Howard faced three candidates during the 2013 election. Tim Howard received the Erie County Republican nomination and the Erie County Conservative nomination. Meanwhile, the other two candidates were Richard Dick Dobson Sr. and Bert Dunn. Both went to a Democratic primary. Dobson came out as the primary's winner, becoming the Democratic nominee, while Dunn stayed in the race by starting a political party to receive a ballot access. The Erie County Law and Order Party, our popular Erie County sheriff, and I hope he stays in for many, many more years because he's healthy, he's vibrant. He came here on a sheriff's department motorcycle to ESPN AM radio. He's a picture of health. Now, let's talk about something very unpleasant, and we don't want any copycats out there doing this again because it puts hundreds or thousands of people at risk. We remember what happened with 9/11. As of the taping on Wednesday, there was a bomb threat in downtown Buffalo. Tell us, what was this bomb threat? What was the motivation? And what do you do with your SWAT teams to find and apprehend this person before lives are lost?
Well, the investigation's continuing, and you're correct. Just right around the noon hour today, someone in the Office of Court Administration, the court building in downtown Buffalo, received a call indicating that there was a bomb in the building. Caution being the operative word, the building was evacuated by the Office of Court Administration security personnel, assisted by the Buffalo Police Department. Our bomb squad was notified. I always brag about the cooperation among various agencies here in Western New York, but we had seven different teams, search teams, that responded to that building with the search dogs. Office of Homeland Security. So spent about 3 hours thoroughly searching the building while it remained vacant, or vacated. Nothing suspicious was found. So this was a terrible waste of government resources, an interruption of the court business that would have been conducted. Rather than that, it was the intention of the individuals to delay a court proceedings or simply to cause chaos within a government building. It certainly interrupted the process that would have otherwise taken place in that building. So we will continue with the assistance of the FBI working with us to try to identify the individual responsible for making this call. And this has been done elsewhere across the country to process or to prosecute that individual to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, let's go into this a little bit more. Because you're the sheriff of Erie County, you're the top law enforcement official, you're with the state police, you come from a family with so many relatives who are in law enforcement. When you're putting hundreds of public safety officials on an emergency like this, and they have to leave murder investigations, arson investigation, drug heists, it's much bigger than just attending to a bomb threat. Let's talk about how public safety is hurt in all these other areas where you have to do your work.
No, excellent point. I mean, I think there was a time, and maybe it was in my own youth, when someone thought that maybe pulling a fire alarm was just a simple prank, or calling the police and reporting some incident didn't seem like a terrible crime. But those were days long since gone by. It's exactly as you said now, with the state of terrorism around the world, these things have to be taken seriously, and maybe where previously buildings wouldn't be vacated, most generally now they are. Might it be the terrorists' motivation to empty the building to make the occupants a more easy target? You can never guess at what's being intended here, but there are standardized procedures that are followed. But again, whatever the intention was of the caller, if it wasn't to cause chaos, that's a disruption of government business, that certainly was the end result.
Okay, let's say you catch this deranged individual who may have mental illness to do something like this, because people could lose their lives with, let's say there would be people evacuating a building, people could be stampeded to death, or there could be other accidents resulting from this. What type of sentence would someone get for a false alarm here, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars to the taxpayers, inconvenience, traffic delays, total disruption? What type of time could that person
under the right circumstances, this could be charged federally as a terrorist act. I think depending on on the motivation, depending on, again, what else happened or didn't happen. But an interesting point that you raised is the financial loss. We have seen some cases where individuals are actually sued for the government to recoup some of what was lost as a result of that. And should this individual be identified, and hopefully he will, he'll both be prosecuted and hopefully possibly even be pursued civilly to recover some of the damages.
Well, I think that happened with that Jesse Smollett, the actor who made up, an attack on himself. And I believe in Chicago, he's going to have to come up with $100,000 or $130,000 to the Chicago Police Department for all the costs involved with all the detectives and investigations. So hopefully this deranged individual will have to pay for this.
We have had similar cases. I don't think we've done one in a few years, but I'm working with the Erie County Attorney, where we collected money from the family as a result of a similar threat. In this case, I think it was an anthrax threat that was made in one of our local schools, and the family paid to the limit of the local law, but it wasn't that high of a sum. I don't know what the ceiling would be federally, but I would love to see that happen here.
Again, we're very honored to have our top law enforcement official, a man of great courage and strength. I am very fortunate to know this man. I have great admiration for him. He's a very humble man when he's not on the air, but he's very tough with criminals. I'm talking about Sheriff Tim Howard, the sheriff of Erie County, who's been in this position for 14 years. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, Montreal, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts on ESPN AM 1520, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. ESPN 1520 is streaming. You can listen live by going to our website, ESPN1520.com, and clicking on the radio.com or listen tab. Special thanks to Mickey Pawensky for arranging this interview. Little plug here, Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. 1-800-535-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. Thank you to those who've called regarding recent guests, including a friend of the Sheriff's Erie County Clerk, Mickey Kearns. We had General Jacques Klein, who was an Undersecretary of the United Nations, and Congressman Tom Reed. Coming up, Jim Lewicki, President of the Polish American Congress, and famous astronaut Bill Gregory will be on this program. So stay tuned. We have a lot of exciting programs on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. In 2017, Tim Howard was reelected, narrowly defeating Democratic challenger Bernie Tolbert. He lives in South Wales with his lovely wife, Susan. Our guest, Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard. When you spoke before the Amherst Republican Committee, you talked about this green light legislation, and you are very, very worried about this, where perhaps illegal aliens who are here illegally really are put on a pedestal where you can't look into their backgrounds. Let's talk about this green light legislation, why you oppose it, and why it's dangerous to people in Erie County.
Well, I mean, for a variety of reasons that I continue to oppose it, and I'm joined by others here in Erie County government, both our clerk, whom you just mentioned, Mickey Kearns, as well as the comptroller, Stefan Mihailu. Both have joined me in speaking out about it for different reasons. The New York State Sheriff's Association, as a group, has opposed it specifically because it limits law enforcement access to Department of Motor Vehicle records to identify individuals that did not enter the country lawfully, lacked the required documentation that all of the citizens in New York State are required to have in order to get a license, but allowing these individuals to obtain a driver's license. The legislation is new enough, and there's still a lot of confusion to actually how this is going to finally become operational. But certainly one of the concerns would be that law enforcement would only be able to continue to access Department of Motor Vehicle information, determining if an individual has or doesn't have a license or registration information. But we'll only be able to access this if we pledge that we will not release this information to any other law enforcement agencies or otherwise use it for civil law enforcement versus criminal law enforcement, that we will have to keep various records, another burden on law enforcement. Certainly a great concern is that if we access this information, then motor vehicles will then notify that individual. I think it's within 3 or 5 days that an inquiry has been made about them. So let's say we were to inquire about an individual that entered the country unlawfully. Does he or she have a New York State driver's license? We're doing a drug investigation. Motor vehicle office would then notify the individual that the police is asking about them.
And they'll destroy the drugs.
Government working against each other, sure, or disappear, or for any other reason. If the individual is involved in a hit-and-run accident, any of the things that the records that we routinely use to identify or find individuals could not be used if the individual was an illegal alien, illegal, an immigrant that entered the country unlawfully. So we have government working against other government interests. And as I said in the beginning, I like to brag about the cooperation that exists among the agencies. We're better able to serve the public because of the cooperation, but we have laws coming out of Albany that limit our ability to work with other government agencies. I can't understand why. Certainly the election issue, when an individual goes in, obtains their driver's license, the agencies that are equipped with the kiosk faces only the individual obtaining his or her license. A question comes up, do you wish to register to vote? The government official behind on the other side of the counter, they don't know what that individual indicated, but if that individual checks yes, they just registered to vote. They're not in the country lawfully, but now they're a voter. We were told that one of the things this does is it makes it easier for these individuals to work because they to get to work because they have driver's licenses. So we have New York State government making it easier for a person that's unlawfully entered our country to work, avoiding Social Security payments that our citizens, the hardworking men and women that made this country, pay a penalty to work here as a citizen that the individuals that enter the country unlawfully don't have to pay. So we've actually got government, local government, state government, making it easier for a person who unlawfully enters the country to break another law and work while they're in our country. Fix the immigration. That's the answer to this. Spend the time, spend the energies. Don't have one side fighting the other. Put all of the focus and all of the energy on fixing our immigration policy, making it easier. But these are individuals that they don't know where they even came from. Some of them, or certainly, will deceive us about where they come from and say they're here fleeing or here as refugees, when in fact they're just here for a handout.
Yeah, I heard the day of this taping that Robert Mueller is talking about foreign interference with our elections and how very important it is. Well, this would be foreign interference with our elections, people who are here illegally, perhaps voting in our elections. So it's foreign interference. So they talk about it on a national level. It can be right here in Erie County.
Yeah, there's an expression that if we don't learn our history, we're doomed to repeat it. The Trojan horse comes to mind. So we're a invading army, can't get through the gates or can't get through the wall. They build a fake gift horse, and they hide their soldiers inside of the horse and wheel their gift inside the gates into the city and then open up the gate or the horse and attack and sack the city. We don't even get the gift horse. We simply say, come on in and do what you want, right? We'll give you our resources. We'll spend where we're ignoring our veterans and our elderly, but enter the country unlawfully, and we'll treat you better than we treat our own people.
Disgraceful. Our guest today is Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, back by popular demand, and he was interviewed on our sister city, WBEN Radio, with Tom Puckham regarding the bomb threat in downtown Buffalo on Wednesday. A very dedicated, honest, decent public servant, Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard. If you're listening in West Seneca, New York, Toronto, or Manhattan, drop us a note. Listening to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Tim Howard comes from a family of law enforcement officials, ranging from municipal judges to state troopers. He has two children and six grandchildren, married to Susan, a lovely woman. Our guest, Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard. Let's talk about the drug problem with loose borders. It's estimated that 90% of the illegal drugs coming in the country come from the southern border. What can we do about this invasion of drugs? Every week we see a couple young people in their 20s with their obituaries with drug overdoses. What can we do about this? Sheriff Tim Howard.
You know, let's just say a bottom line. If we can't control the people that are crossing the border, then how could we even begin to think that we can control the powder or what the people are carrying when they come across the border? So that's the real bottom line. If you can't stop the people crossing the border, you certainly are not going to be able to stop the drugs that some of them are muling that are carrying into the country. And without a doubt, we continue to spend countless resources both on fighting this war on drugs as well as arming our emergency services personnel with an antidote to try to bring individuals back that have overdosed from a drug that, again, with the open border policy, or at least not being able to control the border, continues to come into our country in ever-increasing amounts.
We'll talk a little bit more about the drug situation. Now we're told that marijuana will be decriminalized in the near future in New York State. We have alcohol problems with DWI. We have problems with gambling addiction. so many other problems with smoking, and now there's talk of decriminalizing marijuana. I understand in Colorado the accident rate and death rate from drugs has gone up with the legalization. Now Canada has legalization of marijuana. A lot of people are scared to drive the QEW because people can be high late at night driving vehicles high. And let's talk about how you're worried about fatalities from car accidents with marijuana being legalized. Sheriff Tim Howard.
You're correct that others have reported that the accident, you're twice as likely to be involved in an accident if you were using a marijuana than if you were not. The enforcement of this, the traffic enforcement of an individual driving under the influence, certainly creates an unforeseen problem. The drug recognition experts that have been trained to recognize other drugs, we're going to have to train more of them, and once again, divert law enforcement personnel from other duties to go to this training to stop other duties and respond to accidents that are investigated by other personnel where those personnel are not drug recognition experts themselves. The dogs that are currently out there that have been trained to smell and identify marijuana along with other drugs will have to somehow be theoretically detrained, but no one yet knows if that's possible. So these drug dogs will no longer be able to be used at a considerable expense to taxpayers that acquired these animals. But there's been no talk or no discussion that if it's decriminalized or simply made lawful, what will it do to employment? I mean, to individuals, to different employers. So it can't force employers to say we have an open use of marijuana policy to go along with the law. I guess for the individuals that are in favor of it, would you go to a dentist or a doctor or fly in an airplane knowing that your pilot or your doctor or your dentist is just before beginning a procedure or a flight that you're taking has used marijuana? And if the answer is no, that you wouldn't use it, then how can you be in favor of doing this? So I have to wonder to the motivation here. Are we becoming an increasingly permissive government in some areas while becoming more restrictive and more demanding in others? And again, thinking of history, isn't this what happened that brought on the fall of Rome? Right?
Absolutely.
That, and what
loosening
was the expression
morality
about somebody fiddled while Rome, by partied while
Nero
fiddled while Rome burned. Thank you. But I don't remember enough to really be intelligent. So.
You're very intelligent, and I'm sure that our director of production, Kevin Carr, who's been with us for 15 years doing this show, if he was high on marijuana, he'd have problems just doing the production work here if he was high.
He keeps leaving the room. Is he going out for a candy bar or something, right? So,
No, he wouldn't be doing it. He's a conservative guy. He wouldn't do that. Again, our sheriff is Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, popular elected official, tough law and order man. Now, the sheriff is about 60 years old. He's healthy. He has a tan. He drove here on the Sheriff's Department motorcycle. And a lot of people want you to run for office again. Can we see one more term, two more terms with the sheriff?
You know, I love what I do. But the campaigns are made extremely difficult. And it's the campaigning. I love to be with people. But it's the fraud and the misstatement and the interruption of an office and the criticism of the men and women that work very hard at what they do, but everyone suffers when we get this kind of politics. So I don't think I can go through the election process.
But a lot of people in your department are begging you to run again. A lot of them in the department. I talked to a lot of detectives.
And I love what I do. But I just don't like the direction that government's going.
All right, now let's talk about your family. You've got a lot of members of your family in law enforcement, and I tried to get them on the show, but they are shy. They wouldn't come on. We reached out to them, and they didn't want to come on.
To the whole family.
Talk to the whole family because there are five or six who are in law enforcement. Tell us about what they do in law enforcement?
My oldest brother is retired as a lieutenant from the Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Office. My next younger brother is retired as the chief of police from the town of Eden. And my youngest brother, I'm retired as a senior investigator with the state police. Sat for a while as the judge in the town of Albion in Orleans County. And now he just spends his time as do my other brothers with their grandchildren. I have one sister who's married to a correction officer. We joked that the rest of the family worked to keep him busy by keeping people in jail.
But he
is also retired. But next generation, my oldest brother's son is an investigator with the state police.
Good.
I have two sons. One is a senior investigator with the state police. Another is a sergeant with the state police working in the Albany area. One son's wife is an investigator with the state police in the casino. I have a stepdaughter who is married to a man who is also a sergeant in the state police. So I might say that I no longer have anyone in my family that's a trooper because they've all been promoted. It had nothing to do with me.
It's like a Tim Howard family dynasty in law enforcement. They're all over the place.
There was actually a period of time that three of them worked in the same station. Two of them were investigators and one was a trooper. So if you called Machias, it was pretty likely that someone named Howard was going to answer the phone. And we have a family that is in the area. So there was a good chance that you call Machias, you might talk to a distant cousin.
Very good, very good. And when you're not working, what are your hobbies? What do you do to get your mind off law enforcement?
I like almost anything outdoors, and not so much the golf. And I do some charity tournaments, but I just go there to contribute to the charity. So I'm definitely not a golfer. And if a good golfer invites me out, they usually never do it again. They drop down to the level of the people they're playing with. So I'm not welcome with the good golfer. But I enjoy being outdoors. But you know, I like horses. I hunt. I love to shoot. So bows and firearms. I like to encourage other people to do it. I still work with the Boy Scouts one night a week in the summer.
Good.
At summer camp on the shooting sports there, and a little sheriff's. I outshot the sheriff's competition, but to see young people learning the safe and responsible handling of firearms and what
I'm
people.
I'm sorry,
say.
We've come to a close. Thanks again to Kevin Carr for his work as director of production and Mickey Pawensky with the Sheriff's Department for setting this up. We've learned so much about how the sheriff is attending to a terrible bomb threat in downtown Buffalo. Very dedicated, honest, decent public servant. Thank you for enlightening us, Sheriff Tim Howard.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.